I remember the first time I really looked at a tape measure and felt like I was staring at a foreign language written in tiny black lines. I was standing in my father's garage, trying to help him frame out a small shed, and every time he asked for a dimension, I'd find myself counting every single little tick mark, starting from the 1-inch line. It was slow, it was frustrating, and honestly, it made me feel like I didn't belong in a workshop. But then he sat me down and showed me that those lines aren't just random decorations. They are a map. Once you learn how to read the terrain, you stop counting and start seeing the measurements before you even pull the blade out of the case. Before we even pull that yellow tongue out, I want you to hold the tape in your hand and feel the weight of it. You'll notice that metal tip at the end, the hook, actually jiggles a little bit. If you're like me when I started, you might think the tool is broken or cheaply made. I actually took a hammer to my first high-end tape measure and tried to rivet that hook tight because I thought it should be solid. That was a mistake I won't ever forget because it ruined every single measurement I took for a week. I'll tell you why that wiggle is actually the most important part of the tool. That movement is exactly the thickness of the hook itself. When you pull the tape against the edge of a board, the hook slides out to account for its own width. When you push it against the wall for an inside measurement, it slides in. It's an automatic compensator that ensures your inch is always an inch, no matter which way you're measuring. If you ever find a tape where that tip doesn't move, toss it in the bin. Now let's pull the blade out about a foot and lock it down. We are looking at a landscape of lines with different heights. The longest lines are your full inches, clearly numbered. But the magic happens in between. The second longest line is the half-inch mark, sitting right in the center. Then they get shorter as the fractions get smaller. You have your quarters, your eighths, and those tiny little ones are the sixteenths. You might be thinking that memorizing 16 different marks sounds like a headache, but I want you to look at the patterns instead of the numbers. The longer the line, the bigger the fraction. If you see a line that's just a bit shorter than the half inch, you know you're at a quarter. If it's just a hair shorter than that, you're in the eighths. It's like a staircase. We use the height of the lines to tell us exactly where we are without ever having to count from zero. I remember a project where I was installing crown molding in a high-end kitchen. I was rushing, and I kept calling out measurements like 3/4 and a tiny bit, or 7/8 and a hair. My mentor stopped the saw, walked over, and told me that a tiny bit isn't a measurement. He showed me that on a standard tape, those 16ths are your final level of precision for most home projects. If you can't see the 16th, you're guessing. I practiced by just pulling the tape out and pointing my finger at random spots, forcing myself to name the fraction instantly. After a while, your brain stops seeing lines and starts seeing segments. You'll see that 3/4 is just 2/8 past the half inch. You start to feel the math rather than doing it. Once we're comfortable with the markings, we need to talk about how we actually pull a measurement. I always make sure the blade is sitting flat against the material. If the tape is arched or twisted, you're adding length that isn't really there. I like to keep my pencil sharp, almost like a needle. A thick carpenter's pencil lead can be 1/16 inch wide, all by itself. If you mark on one side of that lead and cut on the other, your board is going to be short. I always make a small V-shaped mark, which we call a crow's foot. The point of the V is exactly where the measurement sits. It's much more accurate than a single vertical line that might lean one way or the other. There is a trick I use when I need to be absolutely perfect, especially if I'm working alone and can't get the hook to stay put on the end of a long board. I'll burn an inch. This means I line up the 1-inch mark right on the edge of the board instead of using the metal hook. It gives me a solid starting point that I can see clearly. But here is the catch, and I've seen seasoned pros fail this. If you start at the 1-inch mark, you have to remember to subtract that inch from your final reading. If you need a 10-inch board, and you burn an inch, you mark it at 11. I once cut an entire set of expensive oak stair treads an inch short because I forgot to subtract the inch I was burning. It was a $1,000 mistake that stayed with me. Now, whenever I burn an inch, I literally say out loud to myself, "burning an inch," to keep it at the front of my mind. As we move through a project, you'll also notice some strange symbols on your tape. There are usually little black diamonds or red numbers every 16 inches. These aren't just for show. In most modern homes, the vertical studs in your walls are spaced 16 inches apart from center to center. When you're trying to find a solid place to hang a heavy shelf or a TV mount, those red numbers tell you exactly where the wood is hiding behind the drywall. If you find one stud and line up your tape, that next red number is your target. It's like having X-ray vision for your house. I want you to try something now. Take a piece of scrap wood and pull the tape. Don't just look at the numbers. Feel the tension in the spring as you pull it out. Listen to the sound of the metal sliding. When you let it retract, don't just let it slam back into the case. That's how you break the hook or knock it out of alignment. I always use my index finger as a brake on the bottom of the tape to slow it down as it comes home. It saves the tool, and it saves your fingers from a nasty metal pinch. When we're measuring for something like a window opening, we have to deal with the inside measurement. This is where you're pushing the tape between two points, rather than pulling it. Most people try to bend the tape into the corner and guess where the curve hits the bottom. That is a recipe for a bad fit. Instead, look at the body of the tape measure itself. Almost every professional tape has a number printed on the back of the plastic case, something like 3.5 inches. That is the exact length of the tool's body. To get a perfect inside measurement, you just butt the back of the case against one side, the tip against the other, and add the length of the case to whatever you see on the blade. It's cleaner, faster, and much more professional. Understanding your tape is about building a relationship with the most used tool in your belt. It's the bridge between the idea in your head and the physical object you're building. When you stop fearing those little lines and start trusting the wiggle in the hook, your confidence on a job site or in your own living room is going to skyrocket. You aren't just reading numbers anymore. You're speaking the language of the craft. Take your time with the next few cuts. Check your measurement, then check it again. We always say measure twice and cut once, but I like to say measure until you're sure. Once that saw starts spinning, there's no putting the wood back together. You've got the map in your hand now. Just follow the lines. Trust the hook and keep your pencil sharp. We'll get this project framed up exactly where it needs to be.